We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from L.A. The series, the game, and the season, it ends with a Brewers 3-0 shutout loss. Welcome, everybody, for the final time here in 2020. It is the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, Austin, Texas, is here. And the Brewers go down. Well, they went down with a fight now, didn't they? They really battled. They gave them a finish in this one, striking out 13 times in the performance. 13 strikeouts today, 15 strikeouts yesterday, 28 total strikeouts in this year's abbreviated postseason as they get swept out of the wild card series by the LA Dodgers. After a final tonight of 3-0. Want to get your reaction on the game, the series, and the season as it comes to a close, and as does the 15th year of this program. And I do want to thank you guys for that. We'll get to a lot of stuff tonight, including hearing from manager Craig Counsell and a couple of the players here. But the Brewers just outmanned, outmatched tonight, and really outmanned and outmatched in this series the way it looks, scoring just two runs in the two games, and again striking out a total of 28 times in the two games. There's only 9 innings per game if you don't go extra, so that's 18 innings and 28 strikeouts. We'll get to that comment. Austin, can you get that comment ready for the one that Craig Counsell talked about, strikeouts and everything? Yeah, you got it? All right, let's check this out. This is Craig Counsell here talking about run productions and strikeouts.
I mean, the runs is the issue. We're just the runs. We got to score, you know, we can strike out, but we got to put some runs on the board. It's the runs.
Yeah, well, you did strike out, and you didn't put runs on the board. They're connected. I mean, I don't understand. I've got an example here of some comparisons. We threw out there on Twitter how you describe, in as few words as possible, sometimes it's going to take a handful, the 2020 season. How do you describe this season? Some pretty decent responses coming in on Twitter right now. 414-799-1250. We'll get your reaction here after the season has now come to a close here in 2020. And Clayton Kershaw all over it today. You wouldn't know that he has postseason issues by the looks of this one. And when you're going up against Ryan Healy's and Tyrone Taylor's and Jacob Nottingham's and Luis Urias and yeah, you see where I'm going with this. How we got there, we definitely need to break down throughout the offseason. If you want to do that tonight, you can break that down. You can. It's okay. It's okay to go ahead and compare what has been going on here the last 3 years. Now, again, on the positive side, 3 years into the playoffs, that's pretty important. That's really important to the organization. How they did it, yeah, shortened season, a 60-game season, I understand. They were allowed to do this with, I want to say, subpar performances. I think that's fair. Subpar performances in certain aspects of this baseball team this year. They were allowed to get in. 8 seed, final, just, hey, they're the final guy in. They got in, and that is important. As we've discussed over the last week or so, the importance of three consecutive years, really any playoff appearances when it comes to the Brewers baseball organization. It's special. It is. Now, the way they went down, the way they had to comprise their roster, it was due to a number of different factors, a number of some flameouts, Stearns, he will be scrutinized for this season. There's no question in my mind. I will at times point out that David Stearns made some questionable signings and questionable moves. The trade in San Diego, Trent Grisham and Zach Davies got that team rolling a little bit. Now on this side of that trade, Eric Lauer and Luis Urias, did that pan out? Short term says no, but you know sometimes trades take a little bit to pan out. So how you describe this 2020 season, that's up to you guys. We'll check out social media in just a bit. But in just a little while, I will compare, you know, just offensively, at least on the offensive side, how in the world the Brewers would go from there to there in just a short amount of time, guys. It was just a blink of an eye, really, in the big picture. And you just have to look at this and say, wow, how did it get like this? How did it really end up like this? So, but on the good side, again, they did hit the postseason for the third consecutive year. They do have a bright future on that mound, both in the bullpen and the starting rotation. They do, guys. That's fact. They do have a nice, bright future of arms in this organization, not only at this level, but there's a couple of arms down in the minor leagues that show some promise as well. So there's some good things, but I know it's going to be tough not to stay certainly negative tonight the whole time. I have to point it out, though. I just do. I need to understand a little bit better, and maybe I need some time to process all this. I need to understand a little bit better how Christian Yelich went from there to there. And I mean it. I don't want to hear about the sabermetric form of baseball that you can measure hard contact rate. And it says that all you need to do is look at him. That's what you have to do. He looked bad a good chunk of this season. He will admit that. He has admitted that. But why would be the question for me? I don't know. We can look around the league and some numbers are down. But I'm not watching those players. I'm not watching Chris Bryant on a regular basis. We're watching Christian Yelich on a regular basis. It looks like he forgot how to even swing. It looks like he lost all confidence. It looks like he's a beginner. It does. And conventional wisdom would say, I don't care if it's a pandemic. I don't care if there's no fans in the stands. How do you look like you look? One person on Twitter said the slogan or describing the 2020 season, Stearns learns. I like that. I like that a lot because, hey, GM and president of baseball operations, David Stearns, he's getting better at his craft too. He's still learning his craft after just a handful of seasons. All right, 799-1250. Tony, let's get right to you. You're on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. What's up?
Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I mean, I think there's a lot of optimism going forward. You know, Omar Narvaez, Garcia, Keston Hira. I mean, all these guys are not going to have years that bad. You know, we're going to add a guy in free agency. I'm going to say like a guy like Didi Gregorius. I think our bullpen's great. I think our starting rotation is pretty loaded. I think all we need is a bat and our guys like a Narvaez, like a Garcia, you know, to be able to step up and do what they've normally done in their career. I don't think we should be super down on the Brewers.
Yeah, no, I'm just pointing out certain isolated incidents. I fully agree with you. Omar Narvaez comes in hitting 278 last year. What happened? Okay, Avisail Garcia comes in hitting 281 last year. What happened? These guys are going to do better. Keston Hira, Tony, Keston Hira is still, in terms of baseball life, he's still a rookie. You think about it. I mean, he had 84 games last year, and you add in this 60, and I know he didn't play in all 60 of these games, but virtually all 60. That's still not 162 to my math in big leagues, in the big leagues. Same thing for Luis Urias. What, 70-some-odd games in the big leagues last year? And then what? I don't know, maybe 50 games this year, 45 games this year. So still, he hasn't even received a year in the big leagues. We do have to be patient with the position players as well. And I definitely agree with you. They will sign some lumber. There's no doubt. There's no doubt it's going to be bargain bin basement stuff. It's not going to be Justin Smoke and some of these Logan Morrisons and retreads. I can handle a couple of those guys. And seriously, you got to remember the Brewers, Curtis Granderson was on a playoff team. So we do have to remember that you do have to supplement some of it. Jed Jerko was a nice sign for the Brewers. There are some positives here as the Brewers fall in the game, the series, and the season is now done. I want to hear from Craig Counsell coming up in just a little bit. But a few things to get to. On this game, though. 13 strikeouts, again, as I said. 15 yesterday, 13 today. It's just got to stop. I mean, it just has to stop. When you sit back and you wait just simply because someone has deemed baseball has changed to the launch angle and home run, doesn't mean you have to follow that Pied Piper. Sometimes follow it because it's proven to be somewhat fruitful in the run department. We've seen that with some slug that the Brewers have had the last couple of years. In a Moustakas and a Grandal coupled with, the Ryan Brauns and Christian Yelich's and, a 19-home-run season for Keston Hira and half a year last year. So I understand that part. But when you don't have a Moustakas and a Grandal and a Braun and a Yelich and a Keston Hira doing their thing and an Eric Thames and a Jesus Aguilar, when you don't have those guys, how do you sit back and wait for the thump when you don't have these guys? When you have Tyrone Taylors and Luis Urias and Eric Sogards, and you still want to, and Jacob Nottinghams, and even Manny Pena, you still want to sit back and wait for 2- and 3-run home runs? They never came, Craig. They never got to them. So you followed suit with the change of the guard, the change of the game, but it didn't match the players. You're not stacked with Baez and Schwarber and Rizzo and Bryant or Muncy and Bellinger and Betts and Turners and Seegers. You're not stacked with those guys. You're stacked with, like I said, David Freitas got an at-bat today. Ryan Healy was your cleanup hitter today, and it didn't change the style of baseball offensively you were going to play tonight? That part of it, that's tough. That's really tough. Now, I didn't like the lineup at the start, but, you're fired up and you're positive because the Brewers have a playoff game coming up tonight. rough sailing for the Brewers, but they did make the playoffs, and I agree with the caller that there are some positives here to point out. You can describe the Brewers' season here in as few words as possible at 799-1250. Austin, what do you want to do here? Where do you want to go?
You tell me, Tim. I'm along for the ride.
We can hit our break here. I'll come back and recap some of this game, then I'll get to some comparisons here and on some of the benchmarks and some of the awards we give out. We're going to keep it mainly toward the season, turning point in the season. How about that with the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin? Track rental, event information at greatlakesdragway.com. Turning point in this season, Austin, you and I were pointing out, we think that it probably was the sweep in Pittsburgh.
Yep. Yeah, when it comes to the win, when it happened.
Yeah, when it comes to the win-loss totals, and I don't think it sent the Brewers into a huge tailspin, but it just didn't get them out. They were on the verge of getting out right there. We're going to call that the turning point of this season, as maybe some people would say it's an injury to Burns or Devin Williams and things like that. No, I look back mid-season, that sweep to the hands of the Pittsburgh Pirates, turning point with the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. And I will say this, the Chevy MVB for the 2020 season is brought to you by Chevy, the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealers or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. Is it hands down Devin Williams? I think so. I think he's got to be the MVP of this team. Doesn't he? I mean, you could make the argument for Burns, maybe a huge bounce back season. But what Devin Williams did, that warrants MVP status, MVB status in this case with the Chevy MVB. We'll take a break and come back. Craig Counsell on the way. Can't wait to hear this. I know he's going to be super positive. You ran into a buzzsaw today with Kershaw, as he goes 8 scoreless, striking out 13 Brewers batters. And just a really interesting comparison with some of the playoff teams that the Brewers have had the last 3 years and counting now. So, Babe, you Shade and Blind postgame show, 3-0, Brewers fall. Game done, season done, series way over as the Brewers offense still struggling. And I think we just had a Brewers strikeout right now. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
All right, Brewers fall in the game. The series and the season is now over as the Dodgers take care of business 3-0 over the Crew. And as I told you, welcome back, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, wrapping up the season here. Programming note, on Tuesday will be the 2020 season retrospective. We'll air that right after the Wendy's Big Show. That'll be at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. We'll walk you through the season. There may be some things that you forgot about this year that we'll go over on Tuesday. And all the bad luck that happened, because that played a big part in the season. There's no question and no excuse. But the reality is there was some really rough luck going on this year in 2020 60-game campaign. Plus a playoff spot. I mean, heck, that's a positive right there. And that's enough to move forward to with some sort of foundation of winning. I think it is. And I think it's really a case to be made that if a free agent is on the fence a little bit with the signing in the city of Milwaukee playing for the Brewers organization, it will help. Having hit the postseason playoffs, what, 3 straight years. So we'll take that. 414-799-1250 if you want to wrap things up with us tonight. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. Brandon Woodruff was ejected from this game. You wouldn't know it by watching the game on ESPN. Did they even talk about it? Because I was, throughout the whole Woodruff leaving the game, and then, I flipped over to the Brewers flagship, and they were talking about the ejection. I went back to ESPN, and they were not talking about it. Did they ever, to your knowledge, even get to it and address it on ESPN?
Nope, not to my knowledge. The only reason I found out about it was because I saw McAlvey had retweeted that he had gotten ejected. So I still have no information on it.
Yeah, right. And we're going to hear from Brandon Woodruff. Maybe we'll get some clarity on that. That's just a funny side story. He gets ejected. Euchre had said some, I think Woody got ejected for salutations from to the home plate umpire with a couple of happy Halloweens. I don't know what that meant, but it was funny. All right, inside the box with Laborers International Union Local 113. We'll keep it to the season. Check out some of these numbers. Here's where the season went south. You couldn't hit the baseball. Hit the baseball. Coaches will tell you, just hit the baseball. Little League coaches, hit the baseball. See it and hit it. All right, some batting averages. Omar Narvaez 176. Justin Smoke, 186. Keston Hira, 212. Orlando Arcia, 260. All right, we'll take that. Eric Sogard, 209. Christian Yelich, 205. Are you kidding me? 238 for Avi Garcia. Ben Gamel, 237. Ryan Braun, 233. Jed Jerko, 248. Luis Urias, 239. Vogelbach, 328, but that's in a Brewers uniform. Jace Peterson, 200. Nottingham, 188. Manny Pena, 231. Tyrone Taylor, 237. There we go. Mark Mathias, for your 278 batting average, you don't see the light of day on an active roster. Brock Holt, 100. Logan Morrison, 120. Lorenzo Cain, 333 before he opted out. Ryan Healy, 143. Look at those numbers. That is crazy. Those are crazy numbers, crazy bad numbers. A lot has been talked about this year about why the numbers were down like that all around baseball. You know what? I don't have an answer to you. I think it's probably a number of factors. One of which could be, are they that dependent on video? Are you that dependent? Is this game, maybe it's been exposed that this game is dependent on technology like that. Maybe. The other one, taken out of their routine, ramping up for the season, then gearing down, then ramping back up in a short amount of time. I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe some of these players just simply didn't want to be here. I think that is a factor as well. I don't know who, and I don't even know if anyone would even admit that, and I don't care if I sound crazy saying it, but it really seems like that may be a factor in this. I think it was with some players. Not just on this team, and maybe there weren't any on this team, maybe around the league, but just watching baseball this year, some of them just may not have wanted to be here. They didn't feel safe, and really that can take you off guard too. And you got too much on your mind like that at work, it's going to affect your performance. Even you guys at work, that does have an impact. Also, I want to point out that the success and failure in large part is based on a team. And we understand that. It's also based on a good leadership a crew or command, if you will. And I still say that Craig Counsell is a very good manager, going to be a great manager. Did he learn from this year? Oh, I think he did. There's no doubt in my mind he did. If he didn't, you ought to hang him up now because you're always in learn mode. He definitely learned a few things about his offense. He learned. For example, what would you do if someone was not good at your company wasn't good at a certain thing that you provide? Well, you work on it. You start working on it until the problem's solved. Players don't know how to bunt, and that's the excuse I hear all the time, every single year. Tim, you're asking players to do what they're no good at. Okay, so we can't use that excuse anymore. I'm going to send down from all the way from the top to the bottom of this organization. There's an edict sent down to the rookie level, Arizona Fall League, the rookie level, your instructional ball, all of these things, low A, all double A. We're going to learn how to bunt. I'll give you 2 years to get all your players learning how to bunt. Is that a fair amount of time? 2 years? 2 years. Because then in 2 years, we're never going to use that excuse again. Now everybody knows how to bunt. Matt Erickson, a manager at Appleton. I'll give you 2 years to have every player that comes through you working on bunts and getting better at it. And then we'll filter it through the system. So in 2 years, we can never use that excuse again. When you don't have thump, you got to find ways to manufacture runs. Craig Counsell learned that this year. I don't know who made up the rule that we no longer do sacrificing. Who made that rule, and why do we always follow it? Did the almighty baseball God get resurrected and stood in front of home plate and the choir, the angels were singing in the choir loft up in the Lowe's level? and they said, we no longer bunt. I feel like doing a seance again. I do. I'll give you 2 years to learn how to get your players to lay a bunt down, because we may need it sometime when we have to run Ryan Healy's out there in our cleanup spot. And then we got to sit back and wait until Ryan Healy hits a game-changing three-run home run. We'll be waiting until the year 2032.
Maybe not even then.
Maybe not even then, yeah. I do want to do a little comparison. I'm going to jump all over the road here. I'm sorry, what's that, Austin? All right, we'll get to Mike in just a second here. I want to just throw this out there. Let's see. Excuse me, I'm just shuffling through all my notes here. Okay, this year. And these are elimination games. So I'll tell you what it was. It was today's elimination game, game two of this three-game wild card series. I'll go back to last year's wild card one-game elimination game, because immediately it was for both of those teams, Nationals and Brewers. And then I'll go back to 2018 and the game seven elimination game against the Dodgers. So we'll start with 2018. Let's see. These names. Check this out. This is why you could sit back and wait for thump. You could wait for 2 and 3 run home runs and 2 run and bases clearing doubles. 2018 game seven against the Dodgers, and I'm just throwing these names out there to see how it pales in comparison. Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, Jesus Aguilar, Travis Shaw, Mike Moustakas, Orlando Arcia, Eric Kratz, okay, Domingo Santana, Jonathan Scope, Curtis Granderson. See the names? Those are the names. And then you can sit back and wait, because you're going to get them. Up and down that lineup, you were going to get 2 and 3 run home runs. You were going to get game-changing bases-clearing doubles. Now we'll go 1 year later, which was last year's wild card game. Let's see. Here's the names. Trent Grisham. Look how he's doing in San Diego. So this is a little bit better than we thought, I think. Yasmani Grandal. Mike Moustakas. Travis Shaw. Lorenzo Cain. Keston Hira. Ryan Braun. Eric Thames. See how the names are different? Now we'll fast forward to today. Today, Tyrone Taylor, Luis Urias, Jacob Nottingham, David Freitas, Ryan Healy. Are you kidding me? How did it get there? Of course, you have Christian Yelich, Avi Garcia in there as well. Braun's hurt, and I understand Cain opted out. But I'll just go back to Moustakas and Grandal and Eric Thames, Lorenzo Cain. This year, 1 year later, regardless of how it got there, here's where it got. At-bats from Tyrone Taylor, Luis Urias, Jacob Nottingham, David Freitas, Ryan Healy. Oh. Eric Sogard was on the bench. Ben Gamel got an at-bat today. I look at this 18-19 to today and all elimination games, and you just say, like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. 414-799-1250. We're going to hear from Brandon Woodruff coming up. I want to know how he got ejected. And I want to tell you this, too, just so we're on the negative bandwagon. I'll get more positive as we move along here. But I just have to say this while it's top of mind. You know, when Woody got ejected and got himself into trouble, it was a double play ground ball that should have been out of the inning off the bat of Pollock. Urias steps on the bag, throws to first. Are you going to blame Urias? That was a nice play by Luis Urias. Jed Jerko, you got to make that play. I'm sorry, you're in the big leagues. I don't care. You have to make that play. You created that. Brandon Woodruff deserved a better fate. He should have been out of that inning, and there would have been no rift with the home plate umpire. Jerko, I'm sorry. You need to make that play. A little bit of an in-between hop, but big leaguers make that play. Most times, you have to make that play in a game like this. This is how we talk about playoff baseball. Because those one pitch, I heard Euchre talking about it. Every pitch matters. Every play matters. Every AB matters in the playoffs. Those are the plays you got to make. Jerko, you got to make that play, dude. I'm calling you out. Urias, hey, he made a nice play. It was a long throw. Sometimes these guys bounce one on purpose over to first base. You are aware of that, right? So it's a nice natural hop. Now, I don't think Urias tried to do that, but Jerko, you got to make that play, and he's out of the inning. Who knows what was going to happen after that? So this is, I had that in my notes here. Woody gets, you know, I'm not sure it was a strike. It may have been an overreaction by Brandon Woodruff. Austin, I'll start with you. You think, and that's why he probably got ejected, was on the strikeout call to Barnes. He should have been out of that inning.
Yeah, a couple of things. A listener tweeted at us. They did mention it about two innings later. And I did see a quote from McKelvey that Woodruff did admit that it was outside and the heat of the moment got to him. So he knew it was outside, but the competitiveness got to him a little bit.
It looked like to us that it wasn't that bad of a call. I mean, it's probably a ball. I mean, honestly, could he have gotten the call right there? He wanted the call for sure. And he wanted it so bad. You're right. I think there was an overreaction there. Okay, 799-1250. Let's get to Mike. Mike, you're on the fan. What's happening?
I was just away from my phone. Well, my prediction didn't come through, but...
No, it didn't. But I like your dedication.
You know, we were talking about Council, if you don't mind me just saying one thing. One thing, you know, that I like about the guy, I want to say something not romanticist, but you know he wants to see people succeed, and he knows what his guys are capable of, and sometimes you know he's hoping that they're going to come through, and it'll be a talent changing or a career changing thing, and that's what I like about him. And I think he admitted that. He should have took Suter out sooner yesterday. It sounded like it, but I like the guy. We do criticize him, but
we criticize some of his moves, not him necessarily. And I think, as I said, he's a very good manager, but that doesn't mean that good or great managers can't make mistakes.
Yeah, look what he's working with this year.
No doubt. I just pointed that out, man. That's tough. But when you sit Dan Vogelbach on the bench, give me a break. I mean, really, just give me a break.
I'm disappointed Braun didn't take one more at bat yesterday.
Well, it's funny you bring up Braun. Mike, I hope everything's healthy with you.
Yep.
I know Donald Trump just had tweeted out that I don't know. I don't want to break this news.
You can tweet it out. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Has that been confirmed? Thanks, Mike. I'll talk to you soon. I know
okay,
I will.
Have a great night.
Yeah, it's been a fun season with you, Mike. That's been confirmed, Austin. Everything confirmed on that? Is that making sure we're dotting I's and crossing T's on that?
Yeah, it was tweeted out from the official Donald Trump Twitter account. So
that Donald Trump and his wife have contracted coronavirus?
Yep, that is correct.
Okay. So there are bigger things in life than the Brewers getting bumped out of the playoffs, for sure. So now I do want to just make mention of Ryan Braun, and I wonder if there was a conversation before the break here, and then we'll get to Brandon Woodruff. But I wonder if there was a conversation between Craig Council and Ryan Braun on this game tonight. I didn't think he was available. It sounded like he was not available at all. And Craig Council, so he wasn't available. Austin, you and I read that properly when we listened to it on the On Deck show.
Yeah, and it was just confirmed that Braun was totally unavailable for today.
Yeah, and it sounded like he just didn't want to tell Dave Roberts and the L.A. Dodgers that he was not available, which, you know, makes sense. And then I would have done the same thing. But I wonder, given that fact, have we thought of this? Did Counts and Brawny have a conversation and say, how do you want to end this thing? You're active anyway. I mean, with two outs in the eighth inning and Hauser out there, I wondered if the conversation was, how do you want to come off the field just in case you're going to hang him up? Do you want to be pulled from a game while you're sitting in the dugout for your next at-bat? That's not a good way to go out. That was yesterday. Or do you want to be a defensive replacement with two outs? Hopefully the ball isn't hit to you. I know it's a close game, but we are talking about Ryan Braun. And we are talking about his exit from Brewers baseball, if not baseball in general. And to have Adrian Hauser record that final out and have Braun jog in from the outfield into the Brewers dugout to a standing O from his teammates, I just wonder if that conversation, and I know it's not a dog and pony show, and it shouldn't be a circus and a trip to Hollywood and, you know, almost selfishly allowing Braun to affect a three-run game. But it did seem like a 13-run game, didn't it, with this offense? Did you have any faith at all that the Brewers were going to come back in this game down 3-0 the way Kershaw was pitching? Honestly, tongue-in-cheek, the way anyone was pitching against them. But I wonder if that conversation occurred, and I wonder if Brawny, not during the game, but I mean before the game, maybe it was like, hey, dude, you know, Council is probably very discreet. I think he's been known for that. I don't think he flaps his yap at all with what he knows behind the scenes. I have not run across any issue on that. I would have wanted Ryan Braun to leave the game if that's the case. And I don't know anything. If that's the case, in a better fashion than he did yesterday. And is that playing with the baseball gods? Yeah, again, it's one out. You're trying to dodge a bullet there. So loaf over, kind of limp over, walk over, whatever you need to do, try and make a play. If indeed it's hit to you, you know, pitch the batter a certain way where it's going to be very difficult to hit it toward Ryan Braun. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's disappointing to me that Brawny has to go out that way. But nonetheless, that's the way it might be, and we don't know. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell. As Austin said, he will confirm that Braun was not available. Daniel Vogelbach, however, should have been in this baseball game and popped right there in the cleanup spot. I don't care what the numbers said. It was going to be better than probably four of your hitters in this lineup, despite those numbers. 799-1250 if you want to jump in here. It's the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Woody coming up. Craig Counsell on the way. Yeah, the season is over after this loss. 3-0 final. We'll be back here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Hey, we're going to hear from Christian Yelich as well, and I'm wondering if he's going to, you know, be as positive as I hope. Because at this point now, okay, it's all starting to settle in now, including myself, but certainly for the players. You know, at some point, they're so competitive that, and you saw what happened with Brandon Woodruff tonight, getting ejected and just kind of blowing off some steam there. A lot has happened to this organization, and when the dust settles, when we process all of these things, we're going to say, well, no wonder. They actually did a decent job, despite all of that, getting into the playoffs. And that's the way I'm going to look at it. I'm still going to gripe about this, that, and the other thing for sure. Because I think things could have gone a little bit better. I do. But they still went good.
did they accomplish the goal of winning the World Series, which every team should have every single year? Of course not. They didn't. So in that regard, mission not accomplished. It wasn't. Anybody that sets their sights on, well, we need to have a winning record or just, you know, just getting into the playoffs is good enough for us. Nah, that's not the way to go. But once you look at the totality of this 2020 season, I think we will all agree, given the challenges all the way around, on the field, off the field, personal challenges, family issues, injuries, signings that didn't work out real well, all of those things rolled into one. Hey, I don't know if too many teams would have ended up where the Brewers did. And I do think that's Craig Counsell. Now, Craig Counsell, Mike had said a couple of callers ago, Mike had said that, you know, Craig Counsell, you know, he has the, you know, maybe he wants these guys to succeed so bad. Of course he does. I know he does. And I've heard this before on this show and other shows that, you know, Craig Counsell was a subpar baseball player in his own right, so he has an affinity for that type of player. I don't think that that's the case at all. I don't. I think Craig Counsell was a pretty damn good baseball player, Major League Baseball player, long career. When you have a long career in baseball, it means that you're a pretty decent baseball player. So I can't say that he was a bad one, but the affinity for the lesser baseball players simply because he has a nice heart and wants them to succeed, I don't buy that. I think Craig Counsell has the competitive nature in him, wants to win at all times. Are you kidding me? Moment, all of those challenges this season in 2020, they played a part in the failure, if that's the word you want to use, of accomplishing the goal. And sometimes in the success of, you know, it was such a goofy year and a funky set of circumstances that, you know, I don't know if too many people would get them through to this finish line.
Craig, on that play, on that play that Urias tagged the base and threw over to first, certainly wasn't a routine play, but how did you view that? Did you feel like he needed to rush that throw a little bit because Pollock is a good runner?
No, I mean, I thought he made the play how you got to make it. You got to kind of make it in sequence with your footwork, and he threw on the run, and you know it's a play that, well, I think, you know, we feel like we got to make the play, but it you know, we just didn't make the play. It's a difficult play. We just didn't make it, and it ended up costing us because they're a good team, and they rolled the next ball through the infield, and you know, and then Betts got a big hit. But yeah, I mean, Weichel made a nice play on to get the short hop. I thought, you know, he came and got it and got the short hop and made a nice play on the run, and then you know his because he was on the run, his footwork indicated just throw it on the run as you're tagging the bag, and throw was just a little light, and Jed could come up with it.
Craig, even though Jed does not play first base, you know, his primary position, he had made many great scoops since he was over there too. So it's not like he's not able to do it, right? It's that was kind of
odd. He just didn't come up with it. I mean, they just didn't come up with that one, unfortunately.
Craig, in both games, the margin was pretty thin. You were kind of there in both games. When you sort of assess the series, it's just two games. But you know, what are your thoughts going away from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, most importantly, we just didn't do enough offensively. You know, we pitched well again today, you know, frankly, Woody probably deserved better than giving up three runs there. You know, we just didn't, you know, I don't think we had multiple runners on base today at any time. I'm not sure last night we had multiple runners on base. So we just never could sequence anything to get an inning where, you know, not just one run, but you got to put multiple runs on the board at some point. So I think offensively it was a struggle, and they pitched really well. And Kershaw was exceptional today. His slider was, you know, as good as I remember it. I mean, we couldn't, the swing and miss on the slider was really impressive. It was just, it's late. It comes out, it's late and it's hard movement, and it comes out just like his fastball. He's got it going really good.
Craig, Woody wanted that strike to Barnes, and you know, he looked at it, so did we. It showed it was just a tick out of the box. But you know, we've talked all year about those being called strikes, and he just said he thought it would be again, and he said he did get upset and it may have affected him.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Barnes just hit a ball to the right spot in the infield. I mean, he hit a slow ground ball that was hit to the right spot. He didn't give up a hard hit ball, but there in any stretch of the imagination. So I thought he made a good pitch. I thought he made, a good pitch to Barnes after that. So the ball snuck through. One of those you can't do anything about. Betts, he fell behind Betts, and that was, a good hitter hit a ball hard, hit it on the ground, but he hit it hard.
Prior to that, that was as great as two pitchers can pitch against each other, wasn't it? I mean, Woody was just magnificent, and so was Kershaw.
Yeah, Woody was exceptional, and he was going strong, and he was giving us, really exactly what I thought we needed to have a chance to win the game, and he was doing it. So it was everything we needed. Like I said, it's just that the double play or the just finishing that one play, and then the ground ball that rolled, Barnes's ground ball just rolling through. At that point we had run out, and I knew the Betts Woodruff matchup was going to be a tough one for him that third time, but I thought it was really important that he get through that, and then maybe we get Josh for two innings after that.
Craig, when you look, you've said many times to us that you needed to do more offensively. That was kind of a theme of the season. How are you guys, when you guys assess that, is it going to be really hard because everything in 2020 was so different all across the sport? Is that going to be one of the big challenges this winter, is just to figure out what you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different than it's ever been. We've had a season that's different than we've ever had, so... Yeah, I don't think there's any history for doing something like this or making those evaluations. So yeah, I think that's right.
A couple more guys.
Craig, can you say what happened with Nottingham? Did he have a hand thing going on or a thumb thing?
Yeah, they call it getting thumbed, and it's in the catcher's glove with the sinker, and if you catch it wrong, it's a sprained thumb essentially. And he just kept getting. Ding. So it's just that there's no way to protect it, and he's been dealing with it for probably the last 2 weeks pretty good, and it's one of those things. Some of our pitchers keep kind of hitting the spot.
Just overall, how do you think this team handled everything I had to go through all season with just you've talked about how different the season was? How do you think
what I just told the guys is, I have so much respect and admiration for what they did this year. I think, this team never had, we never just had this extended period of time where it felt like it went right. It felt like there was hurdles kind of always being thrown up in front of us. And we got to this point. We're not satisfied getting here. And we talked about that too. We're not going to be satisfied just getting to the playoffs. We expect to play on, and that's what always going to be a standard that I think we've helped establish. But I do think we accomplished some things this year, and I think under some difficult circumstances. And I have a lot of respect for how they went about doing that.
Thank you, Craig.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week, probably, I'm sure, right?
Hey, Craig, can I?
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
Counsel at times has a way with words. In fact, I let me correct myself. Most times has a way with words and expressing that. That was well stated
that they're not satisfied with this. And quite frankly, the Brewers fans aren't either. But that doesn't mean that they hadn't accomplished something that really, in theory, they probably had no business being into this series. And so to be satisfied with that, I think, would be counterproductive. So you're dissatisfied with, you know, bowing out here after a couple of playoff games here. I like that. I like the way you put that. That was well stated. Interested in hearing from Brandon Woodruff in just a second here. But let's hear from Christian Yelich as he ends up the season struggling. And that is, you know, power numbers are there, I guess. But pretty decent amount of strikeouts. And it was drawing his walks to the tune of about a 350 on base percentages, but pales in comparison to the last couple of seasons. Christian Yelich after the game and the season.
Christian, we were just talking to Craig about, you know, the obstacles that you guys overcame, and you had a huge one in Kershaw tonight. I mean, was he just kind of unbeatable tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he just did a really good job of hitting spots, mixing his pitches. He made it tough on us, and he threw a great game.
Christian, you've been in this spot before where the season comes to an abrupt end. Is this the same? Is it different?
No, it's the same. I mean, it always sucks. You know, different circumstances this year, obviously, with, you know, the shorter season and COVID and all that. But anytime your season comes to an end, it's a bummer. And it's a bummer because, you know, there's never the same team the next year. It's a different group of guys every year. There's never the same group. So whenever it ends, it is a bummer. And went through a lot this year as a group, and definitely proud of the guys.
Christian, just kind of a broad question, but how would you put a bow on your season and just the team's season in general?
You know, a lot of ups and downs, a unique one to say the least. But, you know, I can say for myself, I can say for the guys that we never quit. We gave it everything we had. We tried to find a way. It almost felt like we willed ourselves into the postseason. You know, we just never quit and just found a way to get it done, get to this point. Obviously, it didn't work out for us, but, you know, now that's the standard. It's the standard for the organizations to be in the postseason, not to quit. Counts talked about it after the game, and we'll be back and just regroup. And, you know, we learned a lot from this year for sure.
Christian, one of the things this offseason is they'll have to figure out how to score some more runs. Is that going to be, you think, hard? Because how do you analyze what the team did offensively this year and what you did offensively this year when all across the game the numbers were so screwy?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure, you know, David, Counts, Matt, they all do a great job of really just reflecting on the year and analyzing our team and figuring out how to put a winning team on the field. And I'm sure they'll do that again. And as for this year, it's just, hey, it is what it is. You know, everybody did the best they could with what we had. You know, it wasn't pretty. It didn't go the way most of us probably wanted offensively. But, you know, what we can hang our hat on is, like I said earlier, is we never quit. We kept battling to the end. You know, it definitely wasn't pretty, or didn't go to plan, I guess to say, but obviously we need to improve in that department next year, and I think we will.
Christian, obviously the season just ended, but do you know what you'll do, you know, going into the off season? Do you think you'll need a few weeks, a month or whatever, just to kind of decompress and get away from it and then start over again? Do you have any idea on that angle?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to do the same off-season routine if we're coming off a regular season. You know, just take a few weeks and decompress, let the body recover from, you know, playing baseball, playing the season, and then right back to it, you know, get back in the gym and get back to hitting, doing baseball stuff and preparing for the 2021 season.
From a non-baseball standpoint,
when you look at the results of the series, you know, everybody will say number eight got swept by number one, but the scores were 4-2 and 3-0. I mean, if you guys were more at full strength, who knows how it would have turned out? Does that make it even more frustrating that, I mean, it's not like they just steamrolled you?
Yeah, I mean, they're a great team. They're, you know, they don't really have many holes. They're a really complete team. And, you know, like you said, we're coming in a little shorthanded, but that's part of the game. It's part of baseball is sometimes injuries occur. Ours, unfortunately, had to have some bad timing. But, you know, I feel like we had some opportunities there where it could have gotten real bad for us, where the game kind of could have got out of hand last night, tonight, and we were able to keep battling and give ourselves a chance and make it a competitive series. And unfortunately, it didn't go our way, but, you know, we can hang our hat on the fact that we didn't roll over and battle to the end.
Christian, does it feel like an accomplishment making it to this point, not from a baseball standpoint, but just you guys didn't have any positives, you weren't shut down, you were one of those teams that made it through without having to battle COVID firsthand?
Yeah, it was a really good group effort. I mean, it takes everybody. It takes everybody being responsible away from the field while you're at the field. You know, the guys went through a lot this year. We had to do a lot of things that you normally don't have to do during a season. And I know it's been a tough year for everybody, not just baseball wise, but just everybody in life in the world. It's been a tough 2020. And it's a big credit to our guys for making those sacrifices, being accountable and making sure that we were able to keep COVID out of the clubhouse, stay on the field and able to complete the season.
Christian, it's a pretty realistic possibility that tonight was your last game playing with Ryan as a teammate. Mm-hmm. What has he meant to you, the friendship, being a mentor, and as he said, handing the reins over to you, how much pride do you take in that?
Yeah, you know, Ryan's a really good friend of mine. I've gotten to know him. I actually didn't know him at all before I became a Brewer. We live pretty close to each other. I grew up in the same area. But, you know, it's apart from maybe saying what's up before a game on opposite sides of the field, that was about the extent of our relationship. And he's helped me through a lot of things. You know, he experienced a lot of things that I went through for the first time and helped me navigate those. And our careers kind of mirrored each other a little bit up until that point. Kind of eerily, and he helped me navigate that, and I'm super thankful for it. And he's a great friend, and who knows if this was the last one. You know, he hasn't officially said he's done, and you know, that's for him to decide, him and his family. And if it is done, he can hang his hat on having a great career. And you know, as a kid, you dream of playing in the big leagues and having the kind of career that he had. And I think a very small percentage of people really get to experience that. Even people that play in the big leagues. It's really hard to stay around for 14, 15 years, do it all with one organization. So if it is the end for him, you know, hats off. He had an unbelievable career. Should be extremely proud of it. We'll miss him around here, but you know, I told him we'll leave him tickets in the Diamond Club in Dodger Stadium when we come back through. And I'm sure he'll always be welcome in Milwaukee. But, yeah, you know, that's one of those things about what I was saying is it's never the same group of guys. So it never really gets easier when the season ends. But, you know, hats off to him for a great career. And I'm definitely thankful for everything that he's helped me with.
Take one more, guys.
Christian, you mentioned going into, like, off-season mode. Is it kind of, like, weird to be doing that because – it is the time of the year you'd go on the off-season mode, but you guys, like you said, it's in a normal season, you'd have been at the end of May. So is it kind of weird for the body going into shutdown mode now?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a weird year, man, to say the least. I think that's putting it lightly. It's just nothing's really what you're used to. Obviously, I probably feel a little bit better at this point than you usually do in a regular season. I mean, we'd be – I don't know, probably close to 200 games deep at this point and been through ups and downs. It came through a little quicker, but, you know, I think this season had its challenges in its own right. You know, it wasn't the usual length that you're used to, but there were just a lot of things coming at you every day that you had to deal with. And I'm just going to treat it as, you know, the same routine. You know, I think baseball players or athletes in general are creatures of habit, and you kind of have that routine of what you do when it's off-season time, preparing for a season. So I'm going to go about it just the same way I always have.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
Well, you just heard from Christian Yelich right there. Chatty Cathy, indeed. Wow. I mean, sharp as a tack and happy and really intelligent in terms of what he was saying, man. It all made sense, and pretty interesting on the Ryan Braun stuff, too, that he hasn't officially said he's done. I mean, he knows. He has an indication far more than we would. My gut tells me that Ryan Braun's done. That's just my gut telling me that, and just based on a couple of little circumstantial pieces of evidence that we've heard from Ryan Braun himself, and now Christian Yelich chimes in. But he's right in that he has not officially made that announcement. Ryan Braun has not, but he had a great career. I mean, just saying, putting all these little pieces together. Like I said before, last hour, it just is a shame that if indeed Ryan Braun does not come back, that's how he had to go out. There will be ceremonies at Miller Park, or now American Family Field, for sure, 100%. And so looking forward to that as well. In a normal 2021 campaign, and changes will be made. He's right, and that David Stearns and Matt Arnold, they've done a fine job in assembling some of these things. And I like that it's the standard now in Milwaukee. I mean, there may have been some doubt with a lot of fans over the years that whether or not, you know, you pop up and make the playoffs in 08, was that good enough? Wow, we experienced that, and then it went away, and then it popped back up in 11, and then it went away, and now it's what he deems as the standard. I like that word. And that's getting into the playoffs. That culture of getting to the postseason on a regular basis. There may be a year where you take a step back. I understand that. But moving forward, to have that as a standard, sooner or later, you're going to go deep, 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 and win it all. You will, as long as this is the standard now. So that's good progress there. Spark of the game with Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. Well, we're basing this all these benchmarks on a year's basis. So we gave the Chevy MVB to Devin Williams, the spark of the year. I got to say it's Corbin Burns. And I think everyone would agree with that, boy, he sparked up to have a good season, a great season when you think about it. That is why you shouldn't really, in terms of the future in Milwaukee, as a Brewer fan, hang your heads low, because, I mean, that's part of the bright future that is in front of these guys. The arms of Woodruff, the arms of Corbin Burns and Adrian Hauser and Freddie Peralta and Devin Williams and Josh Hader and Drew Rasmussen. I mean, these guys do. Are they all going to hit home runs? Are they all going to hit, as we say, to be superstars or all-stars or stars or whatever? Maybe not, but a chunk of them will. And when you have strength in numbers like that, man, that's a good sign. Now, just one last thing here. When Christian Yelich was referring to the front office, yes, they've made a habit of putting together, assembling players that get this done. I fully expect that to happen again. I do. However, David Stearns got some questions to answer, and he's already answered some. You know, a week ago, he said, I've made moves that haven't worked out. He's owned up to them. We all know which sort of moves have not worked out, but he's owned up to them already. But he does have some questions to answer, that's for sure, moving forward. I'm sure there'll be an end-of-the-year presser here in the next within the next week or so. So we'll have that for you all over the fan here. Bart Winkler, Bill Michaels, Wendy's Big Show, and more. Programming note, Tuesday, the 2020 Brewers Retrospective, a year-end review. Looking forward to this. A little bit different format, so you want to tune in for that on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And right now, before we hit our break here, let's get to Brandon Woodruff, get the scoop on the ejection and his performance. And guys, you know, we've talked about it on this show. Austin, you know that. The fifth inning brick wall for this dude. I mean, I don't know what goes on with the fifth inning. Has not been good to Woody. Here's Woodruff after the performance.
Brandon, I know there's protocols this year about the video room, but have you gone and looked at that pitch that you disputed against Barnes, and what do you think?
I did. I saw it on the I went back and watched it on the app on my phone, and it was just a hair off. But in the moment, Nadi made it look really, really good. And in my eye, I thought it was a strike. And just the heat of the moment, I think, with the situation and everything that was going on, and just really wanting to, put up a zero after the, we potentially could have had a double play there. And then, Urias made a good play, but we just couldn't finish it. And I think that at that moment, I knew that could have been a big turning point with that call. And I think that's why the reaction was what it was. And but I did go back and look at it, and it was barely off. I feel like in those situations, too close, not to call that. But I feel like there's been some throughout the year that have, I feel like there's been more that's been called strikes than balls and at that point. But it is what it is. Didn't get the call. I needed to move on and just make a good pitch, and I wasn't able to do that, and ended up giving up the single there.
Woody, the curveball to Barnes, did you think that was not right where you wanted to put it? He had not had very good swings off your fastball.
Yeah, and that was a pitch I should have buried in the ground. I just wasn't able to do that, and I gave him a chance just to be able to reach the bat out and get a single there. So definitely not where I wanted to throw it. I really wanted to bury it, and for the most part, the whole night I'd been doing that and executing the breaking pitches up to that point. But that one just didn't get to where I wanted to, and he did what a big leaguer does, and he makes you pay for a mistake.
And what about the pitch that Betts hit? Did you get that where you wanted to? Is that just good
hit? No, I went back and watched that one too. And that's the thing with this lineup, and especially a guy like Mookie, it's rare to get somebody out like that, especially three times in a row. I know I struck him out the first two times, but in that situation, I needed to make a pitch, and I went back and looked at it, and it was pretty much middle. So if I'm able to make a pitch there and get it in, and I think it turns out to be a good result. But that's probably the two pitches that cost me tonight. So I wish go back and get that one a little bit more, and I think it would have been a grounder that somebody could have handled. So
the way Kershaw was pitching, just how much pressure was there just in terms of no margin for error, in terms because he was throwing zeros every inning as well?
Yeah, I think he threw the ball really, really good tonight. I didn't see it as any pressure. My job is to go out and do the same exact thing, put up zeros. And I was in a, pretty good rhythm there through the first four. And then started off, felt like I could have got through the fifth, but some things didn't bounce right. And that's part of the game, but we were able to keep it at three runs, and still had a chance there going later in the innings to try to scratch something out. We just, weren't able to do it. So, obviously Kershaw was on top of his game tonight, and it was going to be tough to score some runs off of him.
Brandon, the margin was pretty small in both of those games. Seventh inning stretch yesterday, it's a one-run game, and then today it turns on one little play. Does that make you feel better about this, or almost worse that it was so close to being flipped around?
Worse, I feel like, because I didn't finish the job that I set out to do. I made a couple couple pitches that caught a little too much of the plate, and I think, you know, it cost me, and then obviously that ended up being the final score. So, it was tough. You know, this whole year has been tough. It's been we've had to face a ton of challenges with everything going on, and I feel like we've beaten them, and you know, I felt like we had a good shot at this in this series, and you know, we played well. We just weren't able to you know, get those runs. So, and you know, that's baseball. That's part of it, and you take it for what it is. You learn from some of the things you need to do better and take it in the off season and get ready to go next year. But I think the standard's kind of been set with three, you know, going 3 years in a row to the playoffs. And I think that's something we have to look at as a group, is that, you know, this has been 3 years in a row now. So this is the standard, and this is what we're going to, you know, strive for. So some positives to take out of it.
Yeah, there he is, Brandon Woodruff. And you can tell what Craig Counsell said to his team after the ball game. There's that word again, the standard is. And you got to love that as a Brewers fan. You really, really do, guys. A longtime Brewer fan myself, all the way back to, you know, 72 is when I started this whole journey here. And this particular specific journey here on the postgame show, now 15 years doing the final show of the 15th season of this. I can't. It's just hard to believe, guys. It really is. More on that in just a second as we sign off. I want to check the scoreboard first, or do I? And then we'll get to some social media through a question out there in as few words as possible. How do you define the 2020 Brewers season? We'll get to that next. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. The game ends with a loss in the series, and the season is over. We'll be back to wrap things up here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
It is the last couple of minutes of the 2020 season. Yeah, I had to remove the championship right there, finally. But the Brewers did make the playoffs, third consecutive season, and a 15th consecutive season of this show, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, final couple of minutes. Of course, thanks to all the sponsors who joined in and hung through the shutdown, and it really took its toll on a lot of businesses, including the radio industry as well. But, you know, I reflect on 15 years here, and, you know, you go back to the days of Brady Clark and Jorge De La Rosa back in, you know, 06, and Chris Capuano, and some of these players that just, you're like, wow, that's so long ago. I mean, you look at my former colleague, Billy. You know, I've been on the air doing this show so long that he was a little kid that was calling the show. He ended up on the show. It's just funny how that happened. I never thought I'd end up 15 years here, guys. I never did. And honestly, if there weren't the dedication to Brewers baseball, meaning you guys as fans, to collectively just meet after a game and talk Brewers baseball, I wouldn't be right now with this microphone in my hand. So it's certainly not me. I'm not taking any credit on this. It's you guys that just band together and want to hear Brewers baseball conversation because you love the organization as much as I do. I'm not sure you love them more than I do. I can tell you that. I'll challenge you on that. I'll challenge anyone in the state on that. If they potentially could even love this organization more than me, I doubt it. I seriously, I don't know if that's possible. Austin, a welcomed addition last couple of years and now certainly this year, and looking forward to next year as well. But all right, so we have the scoreboard here, Austin, and I'm not going to hear about other teams winning. I just can't do it. So you guys can, you know, watch the highlight shows or check your phone or something for scores. What I do want to hear is the most positive comments that you can come up with on the definition of this season. So we threw this out there on Twitter, and it was, you know, in as few words as possible, describe the 2020 Brewers season. So what do you have, Austin?
Well, if you're looking for positive, there's not a whole
okay,
lot.
Okay, fine.
It. Yeah, there's not a whole lot.
Just read them then. We got to be real. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got offense equals New York Jets. No offense, more up than down, subpar. We got a go pack go. Somebody already switching over. Pain. Okay.
Subpar is probably appropriate. Yeah. Painful at times, yes.
Yep. 2020. I mean, that one sums it up pretty good there.
Yes, it does.
Embarrassing, sad, poor, lackluster.
Yeah.
We do have a personal favorite of mine. Hashtag Ryan Braun forever. Long live.
Okay, I like that
Braun.
Too. Hey, you know, if Brawny does hang him up, guys, that's the end of an era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes into play, what, drafted in 05, comes into play May of 07. So about the duration of this show, I remember talking to Ryan Braun just a couple of years ago about that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we've been around together a long time, you know, at about the same point and still doing the thing. Yeah, but I'm a lot older than him. I think that was his comment. But nonetheless, anything else?
Worth it.
Okay, I'm going to end on that right there. It was worth it. And I do want to, congratulate not only this organization, but Major League Baseball as a whole. And regardless of what you think of Rob Manfred, regardless of that, what they did this year was they got through it. They gave you some distraction from real life. They went through their own challenges as well with coronavirus, but their plan of attack, they got through this, well, thus far, and again, things could happen throughout the playoffs here, but nonetheless, to this point, to get the 60-game regular season in the first series of the postseason, hats off to the league for getting that done, and the union for getting that done, and the staff members for getting that done. It's a... There were a lot of writers that were so negative. They'll never get through this. There's no chance of this. Why are they doing this? And they were blatant about it. It was almost evil. They were evil and rotten to the core with that. Well, guess what? There was more to it than just, you know, your opinion on it. There were some smart people that put these protocols into place and really dedicated baseball players that got this thing done. Would you agree with all that, Austin?
Yeah, they battled all year long, and I mean, I'm proud of them. I didn't think they'd get to this point. So, I mean, hindsight 2020, I mean, I feel good about where they ended up. But, I mean, obviously the process along the way wasn't ideal. You would have liked for some better outcomes throughout the year, but they did make it in for a third straight year, and, you know, you got to be happy with that.
And the league overall made one mistake in my book, one major mistake in my book, that wasn't allowing fans in the stands. That was the mistake they made. That wouldn't have been a mistake to do it. The mistake was not to do it. Social distancing in a 43,000-seat arena is pretty damn easy. Just saying. However, now they adjust. And now in the league championship series, there's going to be fans. Announced what, yesterday, 11,500 fans available to get in there and see the NLCS and the ALCS. So they did adjust on the fly there, but that's the one mistake that I thought they made. And I just think there could have been some fans at most all of these games. Right from the start, July 24th for the Brewers, we started this journey, MLB, on the 23rd of July, and here we are. What's the date here now? October 2nd, 3rd, 2nd?
Yeah, it's somewhere in there. The 2nd.
Okay. Yeah, just crazy. Well, I do want to thank you guys for tuning in. And again, congratulations to you guys for hanging out. And bearing with me for 15 years. I appreciate that. All right, that's going to do it for us here for the game, the series, the season. It ends with another loss, but the standard is set as Craig Counsell and Christian Yelich and Brandon Woodruff, and I think you're going to hear that word more and more throughout the offseason, that the standard has been set. It's postseason baseball for the Brewers, and I love that. Brewers, playoff baseball. I love those three words put together like that. Austin, great job this year. I appreciate it. Also, special thanks to Sam Schmitz, who was kind of the trifecta of us three going all 60 games here. So we appreciate that, Sam, if you're listening. And the rest of you, we'll talk soon. In fact, sooner than you think, filling in for Stevie on the Wendy's Big Show later on this afternoon. And then it's decompress myself with a bunch of high life is what's literally going to happen tomorrow night. All right, you guys have a great night. Have a great off season. Don't forget the Brewers season in review retrospective. A little different format for you on Tuesday night at 6. We'll remind you over Facebook and Twitter, and we'll talk about it on the air as we approach Tuesday. And for the final time, for Austin, Texas, Tim Allen. Yeah, remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.